D-Mace, Finn, Gid, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Adam Vingan, David James, and Connor Newt here with you on this July 3rd, right before a long holiday weekend. Willie Donick and Derek Mason out today. Free agency in the NHL really has come and gone. There are still some notable players hanging around. I saw Brent Burns just signed with the Colorado Avalanche. Dmitry Orlov signed with the San Jose Sharks. So there are still some notable players still looking for work. But by and large, Connor, NHL free agency is over. The NHL draft is over. And it's time for the NHL to put up the "we'll talk to you in September" sign. And that's kind of where we are. We've talked a lot about the Predators over the past couple of weeks in the lead up to the draft, where the Predators had the fifth overall pick and free agency. We've heard from Barry Trotz. We've heard from Andrew Brunette. We've had a lot of fun discussing the Predators at the busiest time of the season. But as we transition to off-season mode, there are still a couple of things I do want to discuss before we sort of put the Predators off to the side for a little bit. Because, look, NFL training camp, it'll be here sooner than you think. And then we're all football. College football's around the corner as well. So,
game comes out next week. Get excited.
I saw that they're putting out the basketball game, too.
Yes.
I'm very excited
Three
about
years.
That.
28 is when it supposedly comes out.
I'm excited about that, the NCAA basketball game, which suffered from poor sales.
Yeah.
But
Coach Vingan and the Duke dynasty coming toward.
I watch all of these videos that EA Sports puts out with the Madden deep dives and the College Football 26 deep dives, and these games have become way too complicated.
Oh, yeah.
They've become so complicated, I think you need a master's degree in order to play them well. It's not the same, and I'm not even that much older than you. Well, I am, but I'm not as old as Willie and Derek.
Right.
And they're not here to make, you know, to criticize me for calling them old, because they know they're older. They're not
they're old.
Their AARP card hasn't come in yet, but it'll be there sooner than you think, Willie and Derek.
They can still get up when they fall. There's no help.
Yes, that is true. So, there are a couple of things about the Predators I do want to get to. The first is Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. So 1 year ago on Tuesday, July 1st, 2024, the Predators made headlines when they signed Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. Also Brady Shea. But Stamkos and Marchessault were the two players that really stood out. And I remember seeing the NHL share this nugget, which I found to be so incredibly fascinating. The Predators last July 1st became the first team in NHL history to acquire two 40-goal scorers from the previous season in the same offseason. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fascinating. I thought that at some point it might have happened, but no, the Predators, with Steven Stamkos scoring 40 goals, Jonathan Marchessault scoring 42 goals in his final season with the Vegas Golden Knights. The Predators, the first team ever to acquire two 40-goal scorers from the previous season in a single offseason. And as we know, neither of them came close to scoring 40 goals. I believe they combined for 48. I think Stamkos had 27 and Marchessault had 21. So if the Predators have any thought of bouncing back next season, a lot rides on Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And Andrew Brunette spoke to reporters at Predators Development Camp a couple of days ago. Our very own Robbie Stanley. Actually, it wasn't Robbie Stanley this time. Or was it? No, it wasn't Robbie Stanley. That was a different question. We'll get to that one.
We still love Robbie, though.
I believe it was our good friend John Glennon who asked Andrew Brunette about Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say.
Came in last year, the big three free agents. Is it natural to assume they'll kind of take a little bit more ownership of the team in a second year after all kind of coming in new?
Like, yeah, I,
you know, obviously you're hoping, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. I mean, it was hard. I think you're, you know, I've been a player that, you know, I was in Minnesota for quite a long time, and when you leave, it's hard, and it takes some time, and you're, and they had much more storied, you know, they won cups and did some pretty remarkable things and where they came from, and a change is always hard, and I think they felt, I thought at different times, they felt a little bit more comfortable. I think near the end of the year, I thought Stammer's leadership really started showing, so I think he'll feel much better coming in this year, and this is his team. This is Marchie's team, and, you know, there's a lot of pride in that. And last year, you know, it was hard early on because I still think their hearts were in, you know, Vegas and Tampa, and now it's their team. And I think, like I said, the pride that comes when you say, this is my team, I think you'll get the best version of them.
That was Andrew Burdette the other day. And, Connor, I thought that part was interesting about now it's their team. And the aspect of Steven Stamkos leaving Tampa Bay after 16 seasons, a number one draft pick of the franchise, captain of the franchise, winning multiple Stanley Cup championships, that was a big part of that story. Steven Stamkos leaving Tampa and joining a new team for the first time in his Hall of Fame career. And the same could be said about Marchessault to a lesser extent. He was a original member of the Vegas Golden Knights, a golden misfit, as it were. That's what they called themselves. Had great success there. I believe is the all-time leading goal scorer in Vegas Golden Knights history, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, won the Stanley Cup there, won the Conn Smythe Trophy. So he, too, had those sort of uneasy feelings about leaving a place that he had become comfortable and coming to Nashville. So Burnett says there that played a little bit into the struggles that that those two players had. But I went through my projected lineup yesterday, Connor, for next season, and it is absolutely not a playoff team on paper.
Yeah.
I think the center depth for the Predators, as I project it, is the worst in the NHL. I challenge somebody to find a projected center lineup 1 through 4 that is worse than Ryan O'Reilly, Fedor Svechkov, Eric Halla, and Michael McCarron. And look, those centers, They are the ones that transport the puck. They're the ones that need to get the wingers the puck, like Stamkos, like Marchessault. So I part of me wonders how much of a bounce back we can actually expect from those players when considering the center depth on this team.
It is interesting looking at the center depth. You are right. It's by far on paper the worst in the NHL. The other thing I'm looking at is how much is it going to change, because you bring back the coach. I can't imagine he's going to tinker with his system too much. Unless last year was just a complete and utter fluke and everything is better this year. And, you know, Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg are all back to 40-goal scoring prime. It's hard for me to imagine that the results are going to be drastically different for this Preds team than they were last year. That's just how I feel. The center depth for sure is a thing, and I know they just drafted Brady Martin, but to me, NHL draft is not plug and play. This is something well known. Like, unless you have a Connor Bedard, like we saw a couple seasons ago, or a Connor McDavid, or, you know, guy from the Sharks. Help me out here. Macklin Celebrini. Thank you.
Yes.
Unless you have a caliber player like that you can immediately plug in and expect results, they're going to take some time to develop. I'll just say that. Now, I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, there's a sort of like college football, there's a red shirt rule for these young prospects that, you know, he can play 9 games before you send him down or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. So when a player is on an entry level contract, that contract is slide eligible, which means that that player's team can choose to return the player to junior hockey and avoid using a year of the contract. So that allows teams to keep players under entry-level contracts for longer, which mm-hmm. is of benefit to the team, of course, because those contracts don't cost that much money. The other thing to keep in mind as well, there's this NHL, CHL agreement. CHL is sort of the umbrella organization, I guess you could call it, for all of the junior leagues, like the Ontario Hockey League and the Western Hockey League and the Quebec League. And players who are drafted out of that league, like Brady Martin, if they are teenagers, this is a very simple way of explaining it. If they are teenagers, they can't go to the American Hockey League.
Right.
So if Brady Martin, think about what happened with Tanner Mullendike. Tanner Mullendike stuck around, I think, until the very end of training camp last season. But he didn't go to Milwaukee. He went back to juniors. Mm-hmm. And that's what would happen with Brady Martin. If Brady Martin does not make the Predators out of training camp, he must go back to his junior team. He can't go to the Milwaukee Admirals. Personally, I don't love that rule. I think if a player is ready to be a pro, he should be able to play pro hockey. Because a lot of times you'll see players who are absolutely beyond playing junior hockey, and they'll go back and they'll just whoop up on these kids because there's nowhere else for them to go.
And don't develop much because they're not getting
right. So we'll get to Brady Martin in a little bit.
Right.
But when I look at Stamkos and Marchessault specifically, you know, Stamkos, his career average, he's averaged half a goal per game in his NHL career. Last season, he averaged 0.33 goals per game, which was the second worst of his 17-year career. Another thing to note, his shots per game, 2.12, the worst of his 17-year NHL career. So Steven Stamkos, despite having one of the worst seasons of his Hall of Fame career, still mustered 27 goals, but 14 of them came on the power play. I want to say it was either 10 or 11 came at 5-on-5. And my concern about Stamkos when the Predators signed him last summer was, at this stage of his career, he is not as much of a needle mover at 5-on-5. He needs an elite play driver to carry the load. He had that in Tampa when he played with Braden Point or Nikita Kucherov. He wasn't going to have that here, and we saw what happened when he did it. He was not effective at 5-on-5. Most of the team wasn't. But Stamkos was not effective at 5-on-5. So, look, even in the even in arguably the worst season of his career, he still nearly scored 30 goals. And I think a bounce back for Stamkos would be getting back to that 30-goal threshold. And I would like to see him be more impactful at 5-on-5. I don't know if this lineup will help him do so. You know, Steven Stamkos can still be an effective power play player. We know that. But they need more from him at 5-on-5. I do wonder, though, if he is being set up for success based on the roster and the projected lineup that I have on paper.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at. Because, obviously, they don't trend towards putting him on the top line with O'Reilly and Forsberg. But I feel like to be effective, he would have to have O'Reilly as his center. That it's just, he's the most well-rounded center that this team has. Like you said, the center's job is to transport the puck to the wing. O'Reilly's the best at doing that on the roster. I understand they like Svechkov and they think he can be a pro, and you know, they're going to put him on the second line with Stamkos probably, but I just feel like O'Reilly would probably be a better option if you want to unlock the best of Steven Stamkos that you possibly can.
Theoretically, and I think the Predators did this last season, you could put Stamkos on the right wing on a line with Forsberg and O'Reilly, but then that leaves a huge hole at left wing on the second line.
Right.
So, you know, my projected lineup, 1-4, left to right, was Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, and Evangelista, Bunting, Halla, and either Matthew Wood or Joachim Kimmel, one of the two, on the right wing. Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zachary LaRue. So, perhaps, look, the most effective line for the Predators last season, it was certainly the one they used the most, was having Stamkos at center between Forsberg and Marchessault. But Barry Trotz has said that he doesn't want Steven Stamkos playing center on a regular basis. So I would try to avoid that. Although I do think that Stamkos seemed to be rejuvenated in the middle of the season whenever he shifted to center, but the Predators don't want him there. They want him on the wing. And when it comes to Marchessault, his 42-goal season was an outlier. I certainly don't think he is as bad as his 21-goal season suggested. Since becoming a full-time NHL player about 10 years ago, he has averaged roughly 29 goals per 82 games. Mm. So he was at 21 this past season. I don't have his shooting percentage on hand. But I would like to see Marchessault get back into the 25 to 30 goal range. So I'm not asking much from these players goal-wise as a bounce back. Again, Steven Stamkos had arguably the worst season of his career and still almost had 30 goals. And Marchessault, we knew he was going to take a step back because he's not a 40-goal player, but I didn't expect it to be that bad. It was sliced directly in half from 42 to 21. To me, I think bounce back for Stamkos starts at getting to at least 30 goals. And for Marchessault, I think it's getting back to at least 25. Mm. But the thing is, that still isn't probably going to get you very far. I mean, Philip Forsberg needs to have a bounce back season too. He still had, 31 goals, I want to say? It was in the low 30s.
And he went on that really long streak, scoreless streak, right?
Yes, he did. So, I don't know where the offense is going to come from. Like, I'm not asking much of these players to have bounce back seasons. I'm fairly confident that Stamkos and Marchessault can do what I am suggesting. Score maybe a combined 10 more goals than they did last season. Yeah. I'd like to see more, but I'm not sure if I can expect that much more. It's going to take other players to step up, but then at the same time, who are you confident in stepping up other than Philip Forsberg? Luke Evangelista? Matthew Wood, Joachim Kemmel,
right. You'd have
Michael
to
expect, Bunting.
You'd have to expect a lot of it out of your young guys.
Yes, that's a good point. Quickly, Dustin says, "Am I the only one that thinks Stamkos is cooked? See, not only his best years, but has he hit a huge wall? Dude averaged about 2 shots a game whole season. I think he's not worth what we got him for, and need to send him on his way first chance." Well, Dustin, as I've mentioned countless times, Steven Stamkos has a no movement clause in his contract, which means that if he wants to go somewhere, it's all up to him. The Predators cannot trade him without his permission. So I don't anticipate that happening. But as you mentioned, Steven Stamkos averaged just over 2 shots per game last season, which was the lowest total of his 17-year career. So look, a lot went wrong for the Predators. My baseline for bounce back seasons from Stamkos and Marchessault is score a combined 10 goals more than you did last season. Start at 10. Like, anything above that, I'll take as gravy. But I think they combined for, as I said, 48 goals last season. Try to get to 60 combined.
Yeah.
I will take that. But we'll see. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault. How confident are you that they can bounce back next season? Coming up next, we did touch on Brady Martin. I do want to get to Brady Martin coming up next. A lot of thoughts on that draft pick. But I've heard what Barry Trotz has had to say about Brady Martin, and I'm wondering if he should pump the brakes a little bit. 615-737-1025. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
You mentioned draft night, Brady Martin, and the mentality that he's going to bring to camp here. As we sit here on July 1st, how much of an open mind do you have about him coming in and challenging?
I have an open mind. This young man, nothing would surprise me. This guy's in. He's got tons of confidence. I think he's a guy that pulls you into the fight. Someone was asking me, who do you remind me of, and I sometimes show my age, but he's got the Bobby Clark-ish type of mentality. He's got more skill than you thought. He will hurt you. He'll pull guys into the fight. All those things that are that make you, your team better when it matters. And he steps up when it matters. So, he get a chance at training camp to step up and it was funny. He came in and he saw Mike McCarron walk by, and he's like, I got to go against him. Yes, you do. And he goes, no problem. So I think you got to be excited. I think our fan base, you're going to love this kid. I know you are. I would bet my life on it.
I would bet my life on it, says Barry Trotz on Predators fans loving Brady Martin. Adam Vingan, Connor Newt here with you, Willie and Derek out today. Barry Trotz sticking his neck out for Brady Martin, the fifth overall pick in the NHL draft last Friday. And the reaction to that pick, I thought, Connor, was excessive, to say the least.
It's pretty wild.
One thing is clear. I want to make one thing abundantly clear. This pick was not a reach. This was not the Predators taking the 18th best player on the board and drafting him fifth overall. If you read mock drafts in the lead up to the NHL draft, the actual draft, a lot of them had Brady Martin going in this range, number four, number five, number six. So the Predators drafted Brady Martin where he was supposed to be drafted. Now, a lot of Predators fans were upset that perhaps the Predators left some high-end skill on the table by not drafting Porter Martone or James Higgins. Although Brady Martin fits a lot of what the Predators historically have looked for. His compete level and his attitude and his physicality and his grittiness and all of those other words that we often hear from hockey teams and hockey players and hockey management and such. So I don't love the idea, Connor, of Brady Martin being on this team next season. I'll tell you why. And it goes to what Barry Trotz was saying right there. He said, I would bet my life on it that Predators fans are going to love Brady Martin. And we should expect, if Brady Martin makes the Predators roster, and again, as I explained earlier, he can make the roster out of training camp, play up to, I believe, 9 games without burning a year of his entry-level contract, and then the Predators can send him back to junior hockey. They cannot send him to the American Hockey League, so he will not be playing with the Milwaukee Admirals until at least his junior season is over. So the Predators could put him on the team to open the season, play him for a handful of games, and send them back. And if they do that, that I'm fine with. Keeping him past that, I'm not okay with. Because I do think it sets Brady Martin up for failure. Because if, let's just say, Brady Martin plays 8 games, and in those 8 games, he averages 13 minutes of ice time per game, and he has 1 assist, and he's not playing on the penalty kill, and he's not obviously getting any power play time, there are going to be Predators fans who say, the Predators used the 5th overall pick on this guy? He sucks! Like, I don't think it's a good idea to have him on the team for more than a cup of coffee. So if that's the case, that's fine. Anything beyond that, I think, would actually do Brady Martin more harm than good.
You're right. It's a confidence thing, because you are going to have those diehard fans that come on here and say, you know, this guy sucks. He's not contributing the way you would expect a 5th overall pick to do. To that, I remind you, this is not the NFL. This is not the NBA. This isn't a plug-and-play pick. I am with you, Adam. I think if they want to exercise that rule where he comes in, plays 9 games, and then they send him right back to juniors, even if he does well, send him right back to juniors just to give us a taste of what Brady Martin looks like, fine by me. But I think if you were to use a year of his contract here, that would just destroy his confidence as a young 18-year-old kid. I've been 18 before, like last week. You've been 18 before.
Half my life ago.
Half your life ago. Confidence is weird around that age. You don't really know where you are, what you want to do. Obviously, he knows what he wants to do. He wants to play hockey. But you're very insecure at that age. And maybe Brady Martin's a little bit different than I was. I'm still a shy little boy. But fans are hard to deal with. We have people on the text line all the time that come after me, and some of those hurt. They're hard to take in.
What do they say about you?
Yeah, well.
How dare you?
How dare you talk about our sweet boy like that?
How dare you? Yeah, you don't have to gatekeep me. It's okay. But what I'm saying is, I don't want his confidence destroyed so that if he does play a full year, he doesn't regress throughout the year. And more importantly, he doesn't regress throughout his career. I want to see this kid thrive. I want to see him just become what the Predators have always needed in the center. They, in 25 years of this franchise's existence, they have not had a center that has just driven their franchise forward. Obviously, the Predators think that Brady Martin can be that guy, and I hope he is. But I feel like, contrary to what we're saying about Cam Ward, I feel that if you were to sit him and let him develop throughout the juniors and the AHL level and then make his way to the NHL like most of these prospects will, I think that would give him a better chance at success in the long term.
So I did this research in the lead up to the draft, looking at players drafted with the number 5 overall pick and how many games they played for the team that drafted them that following season. So since the year 2000, there have been 4 players who have appeared in at least 10 games with the team that drafted them the following season. In 2006, Phil Kessel played 70 games for the Boston Bruins. In 2008, Luke Shen, former Predators defenseman, played 70 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. In 2013, Elias Lindholm played 58 games for the Carolina Hurricanes. And in 2015, Noah Hanifin played 79 games for those same Carolina Hurricanes. So only one of those players that I mentioned is a center. Elias Lindholm, drafted with the 5th overall pick in the 2013 NHL draft. In his rookie season, he played 58 games and had 21 points, 9 goals, 12 assists in 58 games. Now, if you look at other picks, I also had, with the help of the NHL Stats and Information Department, I asked them to do the same exercise, but with the first pick, second pick, third pick, and fourth pick. As you might expect, when you're the number 1 overall pick, you're going to play. Macklin Celebrini played, Connor Bedard played, Jack Hughes played, Rasmus Dahlin played, Austin Matthews played, Connor McDavid played, Aaron Ekblad played, Nathan MacKinnon played, so on and so forth. But the history suggests that Brady Martin is probably not going to play more than a handful of games with the Predators, either at the beginning of the season or maybe at the tail end, depending on how the Predators season goes. There have been players who have made their NHL debut in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not that I think the Predators are going to make the playoffs this coming season. But I just think that with the reaction that that pick generated, plus Barry Trotz again putting all of his support behind Brady Martin, understandably so, but again, he said, as you heard in that clip, I would bet my life that Brady Martin is going to be beloved by Predators fans. And I wouldn't be shocked by that. From what I know of this young man, seems like a likable kid, missed the draft because he was working on the family dairy farm in Ontario. Predators fans love that stuff,
right?
I don't know how he feels about country music. I'm sure he loves it.
I believe he does.
Right, so look, he's everything you could possibly want, Predators fans. But I just think that if he were to come in at the start of the season, if he's either put in a lower role in the lineup, let's say they start him out playing on the fourth line with Cole Smith and Zachary Leroux, there are going to be Predators fans who say, we drafted the fourth liner with the 5th overall pick?
Yeah.
And if he starts on the second line with Steven Stamkos and he doesn't put up 5 or 6 points, he can't hang with Steven Stamkos. We spent the 5th overall pick on this guy. I just think that the best thing for him, honestly, would be not to play for the Predators at all this season, if it were up to me. I will allow for the play the 6, 7, 8, 9 games at the beginning of the season. But for me, I'd rather him go back to junior, build up his confidence, play there, and then show up maybe next season, versus trying to shoehorn him into this lineup, which I think could be a mistake.
Right. And I think, obviously, this is a risk for every single athlete in every single sport ever, but injury has to play a factor into this too. You don't want to send him starting his career and then he takes a massive hit by this hulk of a man defenseman for who knows, and you send him down. Or he sits down for he sits down for the remainder of whatever season he has. You don't want that to happen because that affects confidence as well. If a young guy like that takes a hard injury and is, you know, hurting for a while, it's going to hurt his development and, more importantly, his confidence. You don't want to see that for your number five overall pick. I'm with you, Adam. If it's up to me, I wouldn't. The best case scenario for me would be he wouldn't play for the Predators at all this season. I'd see what he does in this prospects game coming up this weekend, which is on our station.
It is.
Quick tease there. And I'd see, you know, how he fares in training camp. But I'd treat this like I would treat Tanner Molendijk. Keep him around for as long as possible and then send him to the juniors. I think that's the best way to help with his development if I were Barry Trotz.
Yes, and as Connor noted, the Future Stars game will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Ford Ice Center Bellevue, and we will air that game for you live right here on 102.5 The Game. So if you can't make it out to the game, I believe it's also being live streamed on the Predators website. But if you want to listen to it, we will have it for you right here with Pete Weber and Max Herz and Jay Moore, I think, the whole crew. So Future Stars game, Brady Martin will be participating in that. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Brady Martin. If it were up to me, he would not play for the Nashville Predators this season. At the very most, give him that tryout at the beginning of the season without burning the first year of his entry-level contract, send him back to junior for a year. That would be what I would do. Connor seems to agree. What do you think? 615-737-1025. This Wednesday, come out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and meet Nashville native and two-time IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden from 5:30 to 7. Also, Big Joe Dubin will be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. So get out to Brewhouse South this Wednesday. Oh, I want to make a correction. Thank you to Bill Wickett for texting me. The Future Stars game is on Saturday, not tomorrow, obviously. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. So Saturday at 10:30 is the Future Stars game at Ford Ice Center Bellevue, not tomorrow.
It feels like a Friday.
It does feel like a Friday. My apologies. It is Saturday, July 5th at 10:30, not tomorrow. Big Joe Dubin will be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. So get out to Brewhouse South this Wednesday and meet Joseph Newgarden and get signed up to win tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Adam Vingan and Connor Newt here with you today. Willie Donick and Derek Mason getting a head start on the holiday weekend. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Thursday that feels like a Friday. I do want to repeat my correction. I was mentioning the Future Stars game for the Nashville Predators. It is not tomorrow, which is of course a holiday. It is Saturday, July 5th at 10:30 a.m. at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. And on Saturday, we will be carrying that broadcast live. So July 5th, not tomorrow. So don't go to Ford Ice Center Bellevue tomorrow at 10:30 and say, well, Adam Vingan said it was supposed to be here, because it's probably closed. So don't do that. Enjoy your July 4th by not having to drive out to Bellevue and realize that the doors are locked. So,
and don't come to my house either.
Not my fault. Yeah, Connor lives over there.
Yeah, don't come to my house.
His address is, just kidding. Talking Brady Martin. Gino on our text line says, I would be excited if Brady Martin turned out like Eric Lindros back in the day. Wouldn't we all? Big hitting center. Just hope he keeps his concussion count down. Eric Lindros he's still alive, but his career succumbed to concussions. But yes, Eric Lindros was an outstanding player. And I believe Barry Trotz busted out the Bobby Clark comparison for Brady Martin yesterday, which is high praise considering Bobby Clark is a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. So Predators fans could certainly hope Brady Martin turns into either Eric Lindros or Bobby Clark, but that's lofty praise. Joey from Gallatin says, what about Celebrini? Well, what about Celebrini, Joey? Celebrini was the number one overall pick in 2024. He had 63 points in 70 games, a different player than Brady Martin. Macklin Celebrini absolutely had a successful rookie season with the San Jose Sharks on an individual level. The team stinks. But he was fantastic. He clearly lived up to his billing, I think, as the number one overall selection. Nate says, I'm with Robbie. I wish Brady Barton could go back to Milwaukee because juniors have lesser talent than the AHL, which is true. It's sort of like imagine if a Division I college basketball player showed up to the Y to play pickup. Maybe that's an extreme analogy, but there have been countless examples, none of which are coming to mind off the top of my head, of players who were forced to go back to junior and then just whooped up in junior.
It's kind of like these, maybe another weird example, but kind of like these, you're seeing right now a lot of these Division I freshmen in college basketball are playing on, you know, summer pro-am circuits and just kind of cooking up over there. That's what I kind of envision junior hockey is like on some level. He's right. The AHL has higher competition, but obviously he can't play in the AHL, so junior hockey may be the route to go.
And as I said before, I just think there's a lot of pressure on Brady Martin. There's always pressure on top draft picks. He is not unique in this at all. But I just think with how Predators fans reacted to the pick, and keep in mind, most of those Predators fans had never watched Brady Martin play hockey. And that is not meant to be an insult. I hadn't watched Brady Martin play hockey up, you know, until a week ago. You know, I've gone back and looked at stuff over the past week. I haven't sat down and, you know, grinded the tape and watched every shift he's ever played. But he is going to be a good player, I think. The player who gets mentioned a lot, the established player who gets mentioned a lot when it comes to Brady Martin is Sam Bennett. Now, Sam Bennett is currently living his best life. He just won the Conn Smythe Trophy, the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row, and just signed a big contract. And here's the thing about Sam Bennett. His value is not necessarily tied up in the goals and points, although he did score a ton of goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, hence why he won playoff MVP. But his career high in points is 51, and he was the fourth overall pick in his draft. This past season was his career year, 51 points. I believe it was 26 goals, 25 assists. So if Brady Martin becomes a Sam Bennett-type player who maybe tops out at around 50 points during the regular season, but ratchets his game up to 11 in the playoffs, Predators fans would love to have a Sam Bennett type. But I just think that after we spent so much time focusing on Porter Martone and James Higgins, that when the pick was in and it was Brady Martin, Predators fans, a lot of them felt underwhelmed. And I think that if he comes in and gets an opportunity to play right off the hop and he doesn't produce right away, Predators fans are going to be saying, what a waste of a pick. He's a bust.
I mean, there's always the fans.
Of course.
Every single fan base that sway one over the top one way or over the top the other way. It's just how it works. You see it with the Titans all the time. I'm sure you see it in college sports. I'm sure there are Duke basketball fans last year that were saying, we should have never recruited Cooper Flagg after one bad game. He probably didn't have many of those, though, did he?
Well, I mean, I don't like saying this because you're wearing that shirt,
yeah. But
I was at the game in Atlanta, Duke and Kentucky, early in the season when Flagg had a couple of turnovers at the end of that game when it was tight.
And one big one.
But I wasn't leaving the arena, you know, stark raving mad, like, what a waste of a recruit.
Sure.
Like, I wasn't doing that. But
there are people like that.
Wes and Hermitage said about not going to Bellevue today because I mistakenly had the wrong date for the Future Stars game. Well, okay, Connor, I was on my way to your place with fireworks, food trays, and beverages, but I'm turning around. Enjoy your night by yourself, then I'll just take all this stuff home.
Well, I live with my family, but you can leave that firework and food tray and all that. You can just leave it at my porch.
Yeah.
I'll get to it later.
Just write a note, Wes.
Yeah.
John on our text line says, if Predators fans can have some patience, which I'm not sure they can, I think it would be valuable to use those games for his development. I think it was good for Matthew Wood, granted he had played in college. Get him the experience just like Arizona did for Dylan Gunther before they sent him back to the Seattle Thunderbirds. He turned out just fine. Love the show. So, I mean, I get it, John, and I know that there are plenty. It's sort of the thing we were talking about with Cam Ward. It's a self-selecting sample, to borrow the phrase from Nick Suss. There are plenty examples of junior-eligible players who stuck around and became great NHL players, but there are also examples of junior players who went back to junior when they were teenagers and turned out fine as well. And you can find examples of those two things failing. It's you know, you can play both sides of it. But I just worry that Predators fans, it's been a long time since the Predators had a pick this high. The response to it immediately seemed to be underwhelming. You know, talking to people who were at the draft party last Friday at Bridgestone Arena, we took a lot of reaction to it earlier this week, tons of texts. I just think that it might be good for him to go back to junior, lay low, let this team stink, and maybe he can get a running buddy this time next year at the top of the draft again.
We hope so. I mean, that would be the ideal situation. I'm still flustered that Wes wants to come to my house. No one's ever told me that before.
Hmm. I don't know how to respond to that. How old are you? You're 21?
I am.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, and you live with your family, so it's a little bit different. Once you set out on your own, maybe it'll be a little bit different.
Maybe then Wes can come to my place and bring fireworks, food trays, and beverages.
Yes. At your age, I spent a lot of time at my friends' apartments playing video games and such. So,
I do a lot of that too.
But does your mom do you live with your mom and dad?
Yes.
Does she do your laundry still?
No, I do my own laundry.
Okay, that's good. Mrs. Newt, you do have to put the line somewhere. You're not doing your 21-year-old son's laundry. And I appreciate that. Mike in Lebanon said, what if the Predators start hot the first half of the season and then stink in the second half? What would you do, Adam? I responded with Martin, and he said, or the coach. Well, I thought Andrew Burnett had an interesting interview on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. I suggest you go back and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. And look, if I'm not mistaken, I was the first person on this station to call for the firing of Andrew Burnett. I did so after 25 games into this awful, awful 2024-2025 season. And my reasoning for it was, at the time, the season was still young, and if you were looking to salvage the season, you needed to make a coaching change because history showed that teams that make coaching changes in season do perform better after making the coaching change. So if you were looking to try to get back in the playoff race, I thought you had to break that glass in case of emergency. Now, it did not happen. I still feel that Andrew Burnett is a good coach, but I am not convinced he is the right coach for this team at this moment. This is an older team. I know that the Predators are going to be integrating some younger players into the lineup, but I look at the makeup of this roster, and as I watched the season unfold, I just wondered if what Brunette likes to do, if it meshes with the personnel. And I'm unconvinced of that. He did speak about some tactical changes he's making. They did add two behemoths on the back end and 6'6" Nick Hague and 6'4" Nick Perpix over the past few days. But I remain skeptical that Brunet is the right coach for this team. So if the season starts the way last season started, I don't think Barry Trotz will have any other choice but to make a coaching change. But then again, we know that one characteristic of the Predators franchise is that the Predators are loyal to a fault. So right. even if every other team in the NHL would have fired Andrew Burnett, the Predators did not.
And it's hard to imagine that it won't start out the way it did last year. It's, you know, obviously things can change, but Andrew Burnett's system clearly hasn't. And I don't expect it to change. That's why I'm curious to see how this plays out, because the Predators seem overly positive that, you know, last year was just a fluke. That's not going to happen again. But how much of it, and I know Jared has harped on this a lot, how much have they actually changed? You kept the head coach. You kept the same staff. You didn't make much moves in free agency. Your roster is essentially the same, minus, you know, you lost Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon, but it's relatively the same roster. So how much do you actually expect to change? For me, it's not much.
I expect a bounce back just because I know that they're not as bad as they were last season.
Right.
So I expect them to be better next season. The question is, how much better? They missed the playoffs, by nearly 30 points. The St. Louis Blues, I believe, were 28 points ahead of the Predators. The Blues had the final wild card spot in the Western Conference. So even if you make up half of that, even if you improve by 14 points, you're still, at best, a bubble team. So I do expect a bounce back just because, as I said, this team, the players they brought in, they're not as bad as they were last season. But I don't know how much better they are.
Right.
So that's where I fall on this. So if the Predators make any other moves during the offseason, we, of course, will break them all down. But I believe the roster that we have in front of us with the additions of Nick Hague and Nick Perbix and the departures of Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon, like, I think that's the roster that you're going to see take the ice at training camp in a couple of months. You know, we'll see with Brady Martin. We'll see if there are any other moves up Barry Trotz's sleeves. But I think the roster they have right now is the roster they're going to have in September when training camp starts. And I don't see a playoff team on paper. But then again, as Barry Trotz said, it's only fantasy hockey until the game started. And he was right about that because I had high hopes for the Predators last season. But as we know, they failed to reach them. 615-737-1025. Now, because of the holiday weekend, there will be no Force Company this weekend starring Connor Newton, Jake Lyman, and Nick Frazier. So I decided that we're going to have a special DVD edition of Newt's Notes.
Oh,
Newt's
goodness.
Notes is coming up next. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan, Connor Newt, 1025 The Game.